No, that's wonderful. No, and I'm thinking to myself, because, you know, people are chiming in and they're asking questions, and we'll get to some of those as well. Mm-hmm. I think that the thing that I think a lot of people get confused about is a lot of people are persuaded with their probiotics only on the premise of number.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was when the number of microbes, and let me just finish with this. The illusion is that in the selling marketing point is that, oh, you know, because you have a diverse microbiota in your gut, mm-hmm. So it's better to buy all these various strains or species. Many of them are not even identified as strains, but the layperson doesn't know that. Virtually most of these companies just list the species name, not the strains. So the theory is that, oh, you need this diverse population of probiotics to impact the diversity in your gut. Nothing is further from the truth, because you don't know what what is left in that capsule when you ingest it, and that is completely scientifically incorrect. You have to know which bacteria you're ingesting, how it will survive to reach your small and large intestine to impact that very complex ecosystem, and you can't do that when you throw in that amount of bacteria in the product, and then God even knows what's listed on the shelf, on the label. So, you know, trust me that if this was the good way to go, I would be doing it as well. But it's not. It's basically a good contract manufacturing position to give people many so-called companies to sell the product on the shelf by just adjusting the names on the label and making the products appear different. Because if you had a single strain strains on each product, it would be difficult to sell to many private labels because the product would all look the same. In virtuality, all these products that are these massive amount of organisms listed on the label are the same, but the consumer doesn't know that. Then you know, when this didn't work for 20 years, we started the game with the potency. Well, you know, as the author of the probiotic standard, I can tell you the potency only matters if it's by a specific microorganism and if that organism isn't stressed. And number three, if that organism can survive both shelf life and the gastric juices in your gut. So you can have 100 billion, you can have 200 billion. If 90% of those microbes are killed either by shelf life instability or by, you know, the gastric juices, nothing is going to be left there to impact the GI tract in the first place. So it's just an illusion. You're buying something that looks good on the label to the layperson who doesn't understand. Again, my analogy, buying a Motorola phone instead of an i6 phone because you don't know the difference. And it all appears to be the same. So what I tell people, buyer beware, because the science says that you have to select the good bacteria grown in a medium that meets its requirement so that it can be stable during shelf life and handling and be stable when you consume it and survive the GI environment. In other words, if those criteria are not met, the product is not going to work for you. And I don't know if I need to elucidate more on that. So in any way, if you have a product that says 8 species or strains of bacteria, 100 billion, but there's nobody there to back up those claims, you may have nothing impacting your GI tract that survives.
Wow. I think that just says it all. I mean, we have to realize that it's not about the number. It's about the intensity and the quality and the stability of what's in the bottle that's going to make a difference.
Right. In other words, I gave an example that if you were going to the horse race and, you know, 100 plow horses showed up to compete with one secretariat, guess who's going to win the race?
No, I'm with you. I see it beautifully. This is, you know, the other day I got to tell you, I stopped by Stay Healthy the other day, and I thought this was just so beautiful. They got an order in, and they were unpacking Natron, and it comes in these, the bottles were cold when they got there. You spend a lot of time and a lot of effort to make sure that they get there. They're refrigerated. They're cold. I mean, they don't get subjected to the heat. I mean, that's just a huge step that you do to make sure that your product gets to there, and then they get right into the refrigerator, and they're ready to go, and they keep that stability, and it just reinforced what I already knew.
All right, but you know, if we want to get to the point where we understand certification in probiotic products, like we understand certification with organic foods, I just tell people that chocolate will not survive shipping methods without a thermally controlled package, and neither will your probiotics. Mm-hmm. That's a simple analogy that I can make. The problem is that now people are throwing in an ice pack with a plastic bottle and say, oh, yeah, we ship it with ice. But what they don't understand is that moisture coming off that ice pack, if they haven't measured it, it seeps into the product while it's being shipped and the temperature is being changed. And that moisture will cause the bacteria to grow very rapidly and kill the product. So it's not just about, keeping the product cool during transportation. It's how you keep it cool. You got to make sure that you keep it cool without getting the water runoff from the gel packs to seep into the product. And if you have a plastic bottle, forget it. It's going to seep in. We take our glass bottles and bubble wrap them to protect them from the moisture from the ice. And so we do everything according to science to make sure that those probiotic bacteria in the Natrum product are alive and healthy to serve you when you take them. And I wanted to go a little bit into this case about shelf-stable mm-hmm. products. It's a buzzword that's in our industry, and I wanted to assure people that there is no such thing as a shelf-stable probiotic. When these companies are talking about shelf stability, it's under ideal conditions in the laboratory where the temperature never exceeds 70 or 72 degrees. Those temperatures don't exist anywhere in transportation or anywhere, until it gets to the store. And usually when people see something that's called shelf stable, they will throw it in the hot trunk, they will put it on their windowsill, and the product will get beaten. And I wanted to go into just some of the requirements that even the government, who doesn't have very stringent guidelines, talks about. The USDA states that shelf-stable products are those that are safely stored at room temperature and do not require refrigeration. Room temperature is generally accepted to be between 68 and 72 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if I tell you that the AAA, meaning the Automobile Club of America, tells us about how to take care of our children and our pets, they say if it's 80 degrees outside, in 20 minutes, the inside of your car will be 120 degrees. Mm-hmm. In other words, on a warm day, the temperature in your car can go up 20 degrees within 10 minutes. So this is what happens to the probiotic product. It cannot survive this kind of temperature. And usually when a product is marked shelf stable or does not need refrigeration, when it's delivered to the distributor or to the health food store dock, it's not immediately brought in. It's left to sit out in the sun where it waits its turn to be brought into the store. And many times people then ask the store to refrigerate a product that has been shipped and abused through various mishandling procedures while it's arriving to the store or arriving to their doorstep. And there's nobody checking. So if you are buying a product that tells you that it's shelf-stable, buyer beware, because 9 months out of the year in the United States, that product is exposed to excessive temperatures, and you will probably not be getting what's listed on the box. Now, let me tell you what some of the clever storage information is put on these so-called shelf-stable products on the shelf. They say that... one probiotic brand states that the product is shelf-stable. Refrigeration will extend shelf life and cautions the consumer to avoid temperatures above 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Another brand states that their blister pack protects the probiotics from moisture and oxygen, making it safe for storage at room temperature, which is outrageous. But cautions that while refrigeration is not required, It is helpful, particularly during summer months. Now, these products both highlight that no refrigeration is required as a selling point of their product, but the care instructions that are found in small print or hidden on their websites acknowledges and recommends refrigeration. So this is what we have to stop, ladies and gentlemen. We have to stop accepting products that say shelf-stable and then have contradictory information on their website and in their package, which does not make the product efficacious when you take it.
You know, the thing is, you hit and alluded to this, and it's just, you know, completely just, you know, came to my mind in this picture of these trucks and that are not refrigerated and these things sitting on loading docks and, you know, and getting stuck in between and being on these hot trucks all day long and then getting taken into the store and sitting in the back room overnight because it came so late in the day and didn't get unpacked. And all I'm thinking about is I'm just seeing all these, the silent death of all the probiotics and then the people buying these products and not getting what they think they're getting. And you
right.
know,
well,
and
if it was chocolate, they would see the chocolate melted and would know that it's been abused. But since bacteria and probiotics are bacteria, are microscopic, you can't tell if they're dead. You can't tell if they're dead on arrival. You can't tell if they've been mishandled. As a matter of fact, there's been so many studies in the industry. In 2009, Consumer Labs did a study of all probiotics and found that 85% of them didn't meet their label declaration, nor did they contain the amount of organisms that were listed on their label. As a consumer, if you were outraged by the people who were not representing organic products and certifying them, you should be outraged by people trying to sell you a so-called shelf-stable product that's a living microorganism, and you are unaware of the handling conditions that can happen with FedEx, UPS, or the U.S. Postal Service, is just beyond comprehension to me.
You know, I think to myself, I was raised to think that when I bring food home from the store, there's food that goes in a pantry and there's food that goes in the freezer, goes in the refrigerator. You just know which foods to keep cold and which foods to store in a pantry. And I think somewhere along the line, this has been construed completely incorrectly. And, you know, this is great. I mean, this is amazing information, and people need to know that these things need to be cold. They need to be kept cold. They need to be shipped cold, and, you know, to get the true quality of the product.
Right, and then I can tell everybody that whether they're shipped hot or cold, if they're sitting, if they're in a plastic container, the shift in temperature causes the water or moisture level to change inside the product. We call that water activity. When this happens, whether it's cold weather outside or hot weather outside, it also kills the viability of the product. So you may be seeing 100 billion on the label, but God only knows what you're getting, especially if it sat in a plastic bottle and it was exposed to variable temperature during its transportation. So that's the second point. Now, the third point, you know, then, you know, these companies come up and say, oh, well, we have some enteric coating on the capsule, or we have some protective process to protect the bacteria, you know, from the stomach acid. Well, here's the third problem. If it's not independently tested, a lot of these, you know, coating materials that they try to put on the capsule also increases the moisture level of the product. And guess what that does? That wakes up the bacteria. During shelf life, they multiply rapidly and die. So you have all of these things that people are not aware of killing this product before it even has a chance to make it inside your stomach. And so-called, you know, enteric coating or survival mechanisms that are not tested by an independent party are just a good marketing sales tool to tell people, yeah, this product will survive stomach acid. But if nobody else is testing and certifying it, how do you know it's going to help your stomach acid? And most likely, that very coating that you think is helping the product survive your stomach acid is killing the product on the shelf.
Well, you know, we have such compromised digestive systems already. Why would we want to use something that was so hard to get any benefit from?
Well, that's exactly my point. And I think the consumer can help us here, because if the consumer is armed with the information,
yes,
then the consumer will just say, and I just tell people, if you don't remember one thing I say, just pass by anything that that sits on the shelf. It's there's no science that says it survives transportation, mishandling, whether it's cold or hot weather. It just doesn't survive. So now you get to the refrigerator. When you get to the refrigerator, forget anything that's in a plastic. And, you know, some companies even put, cardboard boxes around their plastic containers so they can put more marketing information on the box to convince you to buy the product. That's a waste of resources. So now we're down to only buying probiotic products that are sold in glass jars. Now, when you get this product in a glass jar, you have to look at the guarantee. Is each microorganism in the product guaranteed through an easily understood expiry date? In other words, if they tell you they've got 50 billion, what's the 50 billion of? How many of those organisms are you getting in that total 50 billion mix, or are you just getting plow horses that they stuffed into the bacteria so it looks good in a plate count, but really doesn't, you know, benefit you as the end user?
You know, I just thought of something. I can't imagine somebody going to the store and buying some Greek or kosher yogurt and bringing it home and putting it in their pantry.
No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't do that. They would know in their mind that this is a cultured probiotic product. This is a cultured dairy product. It needs to be put into my refrigerator to keep the stability and the coldness so that it stays fresh and it doesn't go bad. I just thought to myself, we already know what to do. We just have not been educated in this area.
Yeah, well, I think in the stores, the stores need to go, because some stores are hard-pressed to drown out the advertising and the internet sites and a thing. But I think the especially the independent stores, we have to stand firm and say, hey, look, this is, you know, we are a health food store. We don't sell stuff full of chemicals and preservatives and genetically modified. When you're selling natural, I just tell people, look, what are the natural forms of preservation? Sugar, salt, or refrigeration, and that's about it. So if you're not adding sugar and you're not adding salt, boy, it better be refrigerated.
So,
and that's as simple as that.
Somebody just chimed in and they asked the question. They said, I'm older and I have used probiotics in the past. I never bought one that was refrigerated. I didn't know there was a difference. My question is, does the refrigeration and the quality of the product, is it necessary for everybody, or because I'm older, is this a better idea for me? I like the question.
It's a wonderful question. No, it's a necessary for everything. It's like, do you need to refrigerate something that's perishable? Absolutely. Because if you don't refrigerate, remember, refrigeration stops bacteria from growing, whether they're good bacteria or bad bacteria. You don't want the bacteria to grow in the bottle or the capsule. You want it to sort of stay asleep until you swallow it and, you know, can impact your GI tract. So whether you're old, young, or in between, you should not ever consider buying something that's called itself shelf-stable.
You know, the interesting thing is this philosophy has been with you for such a long time, and I know that you never, ever, ever thought that you would want your product to be sitting on a shelf. And I know that you never ever bought into that. And I love that you hold your convictions, because your convictions are right and they're truthful. And this is just science. You stick to the things that work, that give the best credibility to the consumer.
Well, you know what? I can just tell you a personal story. At the last Expo West, I can't use the name because I don't want to denigrate anybody, but a big internet company came up to us and said, hey, look, we can give you millions of dollars of business a year if you would just put your product in a plastic bottle and don't require the refrigeration. Uh-huh. And I looked at the man and I said, you know, I appreciate it. I know nobody likes to turn down business, but I said, I cannot compromise my principles for anyone.
And
this is what we need in our industry. We need people who stand for principle In other words, we stood for principle when we certified our fruits and vegetables organic. We need to stand for principles, not just for probiotics, but for every supplement that's in that store, to make certain that, you know, it's properly handled and that it, you know, meets its the label declaration, that it really has in the product what it states on the label. And, you know, you and I and many others have discussed the problem that the label declaration doesn't match what's really in the product. So we need to arm the consumer, the listener, with this information so that we can elicit a change. Without the consumer demanding certain things, the change will never happen.
And with the education, they're going to demand that it stays consistent. Because, you know, I've had people that have used a probiotic before, and you know, I ask them why they take it, and they say, well, I know it's just good for me. And then we start talking about the situation of their gut, and it didn't make a difference, you know. But the product quality and the integrity, I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've all experienced this over the years where somebody will finally use a quality product and they'll come back and they'll say, oh my goodness, this one was put together right. This one worked. Well, you finally just took something that was the quality.
Right. Well, I can just tell you recently, five nurses took the challenge. I'm working with a large group of nurses across the country. One of them teaches at UC San Francisco pharmacology. And one of them was taking a product for 10 years. And I just told them that, you know, I can't work with them until they take our product and feel the difference. And I gave them free product. There was no coercion. I didn't pay them a dime. And they came back and they were astounded. They just said, we thought you were just making a sales pitch. We cannot believe the difference that we feel. And I had them stay on the product for a couple of months, I said, in order to feel the change. And they just said, it's indescribable the difference that we feel. And, you know, they are now very incentivized to go out and educate their patients, to educate each other, to improve their health, because I said nurses are beloved by everybody in the country. And I said the nurses should be the example of good nutrition, exercise, and good health for everybody to emulate.
Natasha, I want to thank you for being here today. This has been so amazingly educational, and I'm going to make sure the show is posted on my website so that people can take the time to learn. You know, you just keep bringing such amazing information. I want to thank you so much for what you've done, for what your family has done, and for what you're going to do in the field from here point forward. I thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure, Jeff. I mean, this is, I've been doing this for so many years that I can't imagine not doing it. And it's meant everything to me. And I just want to remind everyone that when I started in this field and doing the research, my objective was just to, educate people and incentivize companies to make this product. But I have to tell you that no one wanted to touch it. They said no one heard of probiotics. How can you sell an expensive acidophilus, et cetera? And that's the reason I got into manufacturing and going back into business. I was very happy to stay back and just publish books and give my lectures and my grand rounds at hospitals to doctors and nurses, naturopathic doctors, integrative medicine doctors. That was really what I wanted to do. I did not want to get into manufacturing, but I had no choice because nobody wanted to do it the right way. And that's why I'm still here trying to teach people that this is so important. It's not about me trying to sell you a nature and probiotic. It's about me trying to educate you how you should choose products to uplift your family's health and to maintain the health, because I believe the health of the country is not good. Our children are not healthy. Our adolescents are not healthy. Our elderly people are not healthy. And our adults are not healthy. So we have to make the change if we want to see the change in society.
Thank you so much for being here today. I will be in touch, and I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Jeff. You have a wonderful day as well.
Bye-bye.